you'd like to follow along with the yellow piece of paper, you're welcome to at this point. A couple of things I'd like to point out about the outline. So last week, Pastor James talked about how St. Paul talked about, in the first chapter, his point was, you are treasured in Christ. So our sermon series each week is, you are something. You are ... in Christ. Whatever you are, it's always in Christ, according to St. Paul and according to Ephesians. If you counted how many times Paul says in Christ, you would probably lose count in the book of Ephesians. So last week you were treasured in Christ. This week there's a two-parter, two parts. On the first side, it's you are alive in Christ. We're going to look at that first. And then the second part, on the back side, it is you are a citizen to God's kingdom in Christ. And another thing I'll point out is the bold part is the good part, the good news. It's the gospel part of each section. So each part's got a bad news and each part's got a good news. Okay? So the first part, you are alive in Christ. Paul wants you to know you're alive in Christ. And this, so the first blank is you're alive in Christ. And this makes no sense to many people in the church and in the world. That's letter A. And the reason is because logically speaking, you could say, well, I'm alive without Christ. The world says, I don't need Christ. I'm alive just fine. I go to work. I make a good living. I got a wife and kids. Or I'm living my life. I'm happy. I got this many points in this game. And I graduated with honors. I'm alive without Christ. It's thought. And so number two, people aren't really anti-Jesus, I don't think, in their mind. They think Jesus may have been a good guy. He said a lot of good things, but I don't need Jesus. I don't need your Jesus. I don't need anybody's Jesus. Nothing against Jesus. Don't need him. That's sort of the world's perspective. And number three, even more emphatically, I certainly don't need the church. They see Jesus and the church as two different things. I don't need the church and all of its old and impractical ideas. So when Paul says we're alive in Christ, the world says, what are you talking about? I'm alive without Christ. So let's just see what Paul says. Well, Paul begins with the bad news. He says, letter B, you were dead. Dead. Not in your body. He's not talking about your bodily death. He says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. He uses two words, trespasses and sins. Now, a trespass is when God says, do not cross this line. Do not touch this tree. Don't eat from it. And you cross it. You trespass what God says don't do. A sin, the word sin, means to miss the mark. So that'd be like God saying, you need to shoot 10 hoops and make them all, and you make 8. You miss the mark. So a trespass is when you cross over what God doesn't want you to do, and a sin is something what God wants you to do, but you don't do it. So Paul says you were dead, not bodily speaking, but you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you used to walk or live, which is sort of interesting when you think about it. You're dead when you used to walk or live. So in other words, Paul is talking about spiritual death. That's the line under B, spiritual death. In other words, you were a zombie, a walking dead. That's what you used to be. And that's what Paul actually says. You were dead in your trespasses and sins when you used to walk in them. You're a zombie. Zombies are sort of cool today. But you know what? I think they're sort of cool because the whole world's a bunch of zombies. Dead, alive, but really dead. So physically alive, a zombie is physically alive, but spiritually dead. And what that means is you're unable to have any relationship with your Creator God. That's the next blank. You are unable to have any relationship with your Creator God. That's what a zombie, a spiritual zombie is. You could be alive, you could be living the life, but if you do not know who your Creator God is, you're dead. The one who brought you into life, the one who heard your born and cry, the one who creates and sustains life, you're really dead. That's what Paul says. And you were dead, Paul says. He's got 3 points about when you were dead. Number one, when you followed the ways of the world. The ways of the world. I.e., Whatever makes you feel good. That's the ways of the world. The world says, eat, drink, and be merry. Epicurus, the great Greek philosopher, said, man is the measure of all things. Do what you want. Indulge. The ways of the world. Whatever makes you feel good. Now, whatever makes you feel good, if you like watching baseball, that's not wrong. If you like chocolate milkshakes, that's not wrong. But when you indulge in something that God has said, do not cross the line, or don't drink 10 milkshakes in an hour, or don't watch the baseball game instead of serving your wife or your neighbor when they need you. Those are the things, when you follow the ways of the world against God's word and against his will, that's what Paul's talking about. And second, not just when you follow the ways of the world, but when you follow the prince of the air. That's sort of a weird way of saying it. But what he's talking about is the devil. The prince of the air, the prince of this world, maybe a better translation, the ruler of the world, and that is known as the devil or Satan. Now, interesting, if you sort of stop, you're dead in trespasses and sins, that's B, but the 2 points under that, you have the way of the world and you have the way of the devil. So you have sin, the world, and the devil. And guess what? That's the great anti-trinity. You have the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Well, guess what? You have the anti-trinity too. The world, sin, your sinful flesh, and the devil. And it doesn't matter if the devil made you did it or not. The devil's in all the bad stuff. Your sinful flesh is in all the bad stuff. And the world is, none of them want anything good from you or of you. They want you to stay dead. They want you to stay a zombie. And the final point under B, Paul says, all of us, we're all included. None of you are exempt from this. All of us. Like the rest. So if you're sitting here thinking, well, at least, you know, I'm not like them. Paul says, like the worst person you can think of, like the rest, we all of us, by nature deserve wrath. He doesn't mix words. By nature. So by nature, there's nothing good in of you or me or anybody else. God does not look at your skin color, your intellect, nothing. Your wealth, how good you are or think you are. In and of yourself, all of us, like the rest, deserve nothing but God's wrath. That's not good news. The good news is the big but, and it's all bold, but God made us alive in Christ, Paul says. Not once we got our act together, not once we gave a lot of money, not once, whenever you want it, you can put whatever you want in the blank. That's why I made it so small. Not once anything. God made us alive in Christ, period. And there's 6 important points Paul has. First of all, even when we were dead in our sins and trespasses. So not once we became alive, we didn't become alive in ourselves. I've been to enough funerals. I've never seen a corpse come alive by himself or herself. Never seen it. I don't think you have either. I've never seen a corpse whisper, psst, go get a doctor, I want to live. They can't. Even when we were dead in our sins and trespasses, that's when God made us alive. Number two, because of his love, not because of our anything, because of his love for us. The only reason God loves you is because he's a loving God. It's all because of him, not because of you or me. And number three, another word for love, it is by grace. Grace is another word for God's love, but it's got a deeper, unconditional, sacrificial love. That's what grace is. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is an important point. It's not by faith you're saved, it's by grace. So a lot of people turn those around. They think it's by my faith. Because I've got a big faith, God will answer my prayer. Because I got a big faith, God loves me. No. God loves you. God saved you by his grace, period. And it's his grace which causes your faith. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. And Paul, just in case we didn't get that point, explains a little further. This is not from yourself, number four. This is not from yourself, so no one can boast. Nobody. It's a gift, number five. A gift from God. Not a wage, not a reward. If you mow somebody's lawn and they pay you, that's a wage. If you do really good on a test and you get a star or something, that's a reward. Grace is not a reward. It's not a wage, it's a gift from God. And so finally Paul says, not only did he bring you alive and gift you with this life, he says, in this life, God has made you, we are God's workmanship. crafted, workmanship, created in Christ to do good works. Good works, yeah, we are called to do good works. We don't attain heaven by them. We don't win God's love by our good works, but God has created us. That's our purpose in life, to do good works, to serve Him. They're necessary, not for salvation, but in order to fulfill God's purpose for us. And if you turn it over then, the good news, I've heard somebody say this a while back, and now I've seen this recently in a new National Youth Gathering slogan for our youth. The good news is not that Jesus came to make bad people good. The gospel is not that God's trying to make you a better person. That's what all other religions try to do. Hinduism, Buddhism, Mormonism, Jehovahism, any ism. They try to make bad people good. The gospel, the only gospel, is in Jesus Christ. And the gospel, the good news, is that Jesus came to make dead people alive. There's no religion on earth that promises that. The gospel is that Jesus can make dead people alive. So that's part one of the sermon. Part two of the sermon. Paul goes on and says, not only has God made you alive, but number two, you receive citizenship to God's kingdom in Christ. It's always back to in Christ. You're a citizen in God's kingdom. Now, we as Americans, we get citizenship. We're talking a little bit about the children's message. When you're born in America. No matter if your parents are from Mexico or India, if you're born here, you're an American citizen. And you have rights. And we as Americans cherish those rights and those liberties, right? And you don't know about that until you lose those rights. So if you travel abroad and lose your passport, you might start to begin to understand. Or if you have a friend who's an immigrant and they're trying to get citizenship, you might understand better with that. But citizenship is what you get when you become alive in America. You're born in America. Citizenship is what you get when you're reborn in God's kingdom through baptism. So Paul again starts with the bad news, though. He says, you used to be separated from Christ. You were separated. And when you're separated from Christ, there's three bad things that happen. Number one, you're excluded from citizenship. You have no rights in the kingdom of God. He uses the word Israel. You're excluded from Israel. He's talking about Old Testament Israel. New Testament Israel becomes not just sons of Abraham by birth, but it's anybody who's in Christ, anybody who believes in Jesus. And so the Old Testament Israel becomes the New Testament Israel in Christ alone, and that's God's church or God's kingdom. So you used to be excluded by nature. When you're born, you don't just become a citizen of God's kingdom. You have to be grafted or brought into Christ. And when you're excluded from citizenship, number two, you are a foreigner or a stranger to God's promises. Think about that. If you are not a citizen in God's kingdom, you have no promise that God is with you, that God loves you, that God forgives you, that God will raise your body from the ground. None of those promises are yours. You are a foreigner or a stranger to God's promises. Paul says it, not me. So if you don't like it, talk to him. That doesn't mean that God doesn't desire you to love Him. That doesn't mean that God doesn't want to bring... Paul says God desires all people to be saved. But until you're in Christ, you are excluded from citizenship and you are a stranger or a foreigner to God's promises. And number three, that means you are without hope, Paul says, no hope, and without God in the world. So God, while God is everywhere, God is not everywhere for you unless you're in Christ. Well, here's the good news. But, Paul uses the big but, you now who were far away, have been brought near, is the first blank. You're brought near by the blood of Christ. Not by your good looks, not by your intellect, not by your money, not by your anything, but by the blood of Christ alone. And notice the word brought near. You didn't come near. It's not like you were far, but you got your act together. Oh, I figured it out. And then you came near. No, you were far and you were brought. God had to go get you dead and bring you by the blood of Christ to Himself. And that has blessed us with four realities. First of all, Jesus is our peace, number one. He's our peace. And Paul is specifically talking about the peace of making Jew and Gentile both one. There is one kingdom now, God's kingdom, for Jew and Gentile. We Gentiles don't have to follow the ceremonial laws. We can eat pork. We don't have to have dressed in a certain way, as God demanded the Jews to do in the Old Testament. Why did God do that? He was preparing them for the coming of the Messiah that was coming from their nation. He made them separate from the rest of the nations. When Jesus came, the ceremonial laws only were gone, done away with. He didn't need them anymore. The moral law we still live by, the Ten Commandments. They don't get us to heaven, but we live by them. They're good for us. So Jesus is our peace. He makes Jew and Gentile both one. Through the cross, Paul says, we're both made one. We have peace with God. And number two, we're no longer foreigners. We're no longer strangers, but we're citizens with God's people, fellow members of the household. And when you're a citizen, you have rights, you have freedoms, you have liberties. And in God's kingdom, they don't get any better. Because number three, he says, through Christ, in Christ, we have access to the Father by one Spirit. We have access to the Father. That's huge. You know, back in the old days, if you wanted to speak to the king, you had to get special permission. Even like in the book of Esther, Esther is the queen, and she would have to like bow and wait for her husband, the king, to put out the scepter, and then she was allowed to speak to him. And if that's how it works in the human world, how much more are we separate from a perfect holy God? And St. Paul says, you have access to the Father, God the Father, the Creator Himself in Christ. And you don't have to ask for permission. You don't have to come to the church. You can just speak in the name of Jesus, and He hears and answers for your benefits. There's no greater benefit than being a citizen of God than that, except number four. You are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Think about that. You're built on the same foundation. You're with Elijah and Elisha, Moses, Isaiah, and Peter, Paul, James, all those, Andrew. You're built into the same foundation with Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone, built on Jesus. Think about that. If you're built on Jesus, nothing in this world, the devil, nothing, your sinful flesh, nothing can ultimately harm you, hurt you, overcome you. Nothing. Because you are built on Jesus. They stripped Jesus. They beat Jesus. They mocked Jesus. They killed Jesus. And what happened to Jesus? He rose from the dead. So the world, the devil, any power can do whatever it wants to you. And if you're in Jesus, guess what? You're going to pop out of the tomb. You're going to pop out of the grave. You, nothing can faze you. So Paul's got very important words for us in Ephesians 2. You're alive, you're not dead. You're a citizen, you're not a foreigner or an alien. And because of that, you have a very important, special life. And you can say, well, how do I know this is for me? Well, I told the kids, it's in your baptism. I mean, how does God make you alive? In your baptism. Romans 6, we have to go to a different chapter to get the word baptism, but he's talking about baptism. How does God make you a son or a daughter in his kingdom? Galatians 3, through baptism. That's why baptism is so important. That's why we remember it. That's why the first movement in worship is baptism in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So God has made you alive. He's made you a citizen. You are treasured. Go tell the world. In Jesus' name, amen.